Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Truly, I come today to exalt the wonderful name of Jesus and to lift him up and give his name the glory and honor that is due unto him. And I am so glad that you have joined me on today. And so I would like to invite you just to come right on in and make yourself right at home. I tell you, we have another glorious lesson that we're going to be bringing unto you. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to be greatly, greatly blessed. And our lesson is going to be on today is Beyond the Call of Duty. And we want to talk about that on from the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verses 5 through verse number 10. And so why don't you grab your Bible and come right on in as we get ready to explore the word of the Lord, as we look at it from a theological and see the implication and as we contextualize in it for today's living, as you look at the word of the Lord. Now, when you look here at the scripture, we're going to read chapter number 1, verses 5 through verse number 10 from the book of Luke. It reads on this line: "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense." Now let's look at also, I'm just going to read it in your hearing, and that's Luke chapter 10, verse 2. It says, "Therefore say he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And so our thought for today is the benchmark of the Christian maturity is service. Love extends beyond the duty and expectation. Now let's take a look at that as we explore that on today, as we look at this particular passage of scripture. And it said, every believer who experienced the new birth receives a call to maturity and service, and as well as ministry. Regardless of the age, ability, and qualification, all of us can and should contribute to the cause of serving in the kingdom of God. And now, whatever that may be, it's important for us to find that area in which God will want us to move and operate in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is in need of people that will willingly serve and willingly give up their time and talent for the advancement of God's kingdom and the work of the Lord. Now let's take a look at some of the wonderful examples that we have here in scripture. Let's take a look at that. Now, just as Jesus Christ, how he came to serve humanity, we minister to others inside and outside the church community. The vast needs of the world can be met only as men, women, and children give of themselves and their resources to meet the needs of others through the power of Jesus Christ, in whom is stand all power in heaven and earth. Having been freed from the condemnation of sin, we are now ready to serve him in righteousness as well as in truth. Both young and old have much to offer. The accumulation of life experiences of aged men and women has also given them a wealth of knowledge that, when properly applied, can be a source of much wisdom. Now, young men, women, and on the other hand, have physical and spiritual strength and vitality. We are never too young or too old to serve one another as we serve God. Now, the Christian service is sufficient or significant aspect of pure religion. Now, James chapter number 1, verses 27 states, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now, let us look further at the scripture and look at there are three callings of God. And let's take a look at these callings so that we can get a greater understanding. Now, the first call is the call of salvation. Now, God calls of humankind to repent regardless of race, gender, nationality, or even age. Through faith in our Savior, we acknowledge it. That God has the power to redeem sin, that he will forgive us when we repent. We exercise our faith through both repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sin. Through faith, we embrace the promise of receiving the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, both now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And we'll find that over in the book of Ephesians. It goes on further to say, he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And we find that over in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 13 through and then it picks it up at verse 17 through 18. Now, that's the first call, is to give our life unto him. Now, the second call is that the calling of sainthood. And let's take a look at that, at the call of sainthood. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find that over in Romans chapter number 1, verses number 7. The believers are called to be saints. When we respond to God's call, he clothes us in his precious robe of righteousness. He calls us out of darkness so that we can walk in the light of the glorious truth. We should rejoice because he has forgiven us and removed the reproach of our sin. Further, as saints of God, we must not allow our garments to be spotted with the sins of this world. Paul often made clear the responsibility of the believer to keep themselves free from the entanglement of sin. For example, he wrote, be ye therefore follower of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness or foolish talking nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Ephesians chapter number 5, verses number 1 through verse number 4. What joy it is to be cleansed from sin, to walk in love and the love of God and in fellowship with his saints. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, that's the second call. The second call is called to sainthood. Now, let's look further at the third call. Now, the third call is the call to service. Now, God calls his saints to serve. Jesus made clear that those who would be great in the kingdom of God must learn to serve others. Fruit trees naturally bear fruit, and it should be natural that the child of God who minister to the needs of others. God called us to be servant and to servanthood. which we did not choose him, but he have chosen us. If we follow, then we should strive to fulfill his purpose for our lives. He desired to work through each of us, using our unique gifts, talents, and ability to glorify his name. We need not try to imitate or even to aspire to function in a role for which God has equipped us, someone else to accomplish and to do. Instead, we must search out that call that God has given unto us as the people of God. And I'd like to even speak to the wonderful altar workers and wonderful intercessors and those that you don't really see up front moving and operating in the work of the Lord. It's very, very key for us as the children of God to recognize whatever you're doing in the work of the Lord, it is vital and it is key of what you're doing. And we want to encourage you as never before is to keep up the work that God has given unto you as never before, because God is blessing you and he's doing a great work in and through your life as you are being a blessing, as praying, interceding, standing in the gap on behalf of God's people so that the work of the Lord can be accomplished and done, and doing that role to the best of your ability. Those that are serving also in the hospitality area that is greeting, and those that are doing the various types of work, administrative work, these all offices and roles are very key and vital for the children of God, for the kingdom of God to be advanced, as well as for the word of God to go forward. And then, now, it doesn't supersede the word, but it's just as vital. Your role is key, even if it's not being seen up front. You are vital, however small it may seem, however menial it may seem, even in your eyes or the eyes of others. I come to tell you, what you're doing is a blessing as you're advancing the kingdom of God, and as you do it heartily, as unto the Lord and things. And so always recognize the three callings, the call into giving our life to the Lord, the call of salvation, the call of sainthood, living and walking right before God, the putting away the things that are not pleasing before God, and the call of service. And so recognize these particular calls that God have upon our lives and things, and that God is going to continue to bless us in a mighty and a special way. Now, let's continue to look further. It said clearly the scripture revealed that caring for the needs of others is important to our Lord. And when you look at the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, verses 33 to 40, it tells us, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee on a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto thee, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brothers, ye have done it unto me. Matthew 25, verses 33 to verse number 40. Now, Stephen willingly and humble service unto the Lord set him apart from others. When he arose to the dispute in the early church regarding the attention and care given to the Jewish widows and perceived neglect of the Grecians and the Gentile widows, Stephen's love and compassion for those too poor to help themselves allowed him an opportunity to serve as one of the seven deacons chosen by the apostle. His sincere commitment to serve the Lord resulted in him being used in doing greater works and miracles in the name of Jesus. Now, Stephen's outstanding selflessness eventually culminated in the giving of his life for the cause even of the faith. Now let's look further. It said those that still serve pass their allotted time, because sometimes we think in terms, and many times in serving, sometimes it seems as though, well, everybody's not pulling their weight, everybody's not doing what they should be doing, and one is doing a little bit more than the others. And what I come to tell you is this, is to always recognize that God sees what you are doing and that God is going to bless you no matter if you're moving beyond the call of duties and everybody else is not doing what they're supposed to do. You just stay faithful to that which God has called you to do, and God is going to bless you. Now, let's look at this. Well, stricken in age. Now, the scripture text that we just read in things, advanced in the age have overtaken both Zechariah and Elizabeth by the time God's chosen to use them to fulfill his divine purpose. Zacharias knew Elizabeth was well past the time of childbearing, and this made it very difficult for him to believe Gamaliel, Gabriel's announcement that his wife would bear a child who would herald the coming of the Messiah. Now, the fact that Zechariah was chosen to offer incense in the temple at the time was in itself an exceptional, in that there was some 24 orders of the priesthood consisting of thousands who shared in this priestly duty and responsibility. Now, when a priest was chosen by lot to serve in the temple, he considered it an opportunity of a lifetime. In spite of Zechariah's age, God wanted him to offer incense upon the altar in the holy place. What a great honor. What a great opportunity. Even though Zechariah initially doubted, God kept his promise to Zacharias and Elizabeth. In their old age, God fulfilled their dream of having a child, thus taking away their reproach. God's special gift was John the Baptist, a prophet proclaimed by Jesus to be the greatest prophet born of woman. Now, see, look here. Now, I come to tell you, God is still fulfilling his promises unto the people of God, no matter where you find yourself at, no matter what you find yourself up against all odds, the promises of God is still yet yea and amen. And so, mother, keep on praying. Brother, keep on crying out before the Lord our God and things, and watch God continue to do what he promised that he said he was going to do. If he said he's going to do it, he surely will do it, and we have evidence in the word of God, the blessed word of God, of what he will do if we call on his name. Even as Zacharias and Elizabeth, they continued to walk upright before God, and they continued on in the duties and the call that God had upon their life. The scripture said Zacharias and Elizabeth, they kept the commandments and the ordinance of God, and they walked upright before the Lord our God. I come to tell you, no matter what's going on even in your life, you keep the ordinance of God. You keep the commandments of God and watch God bring it to pass. God blessed Elizabeth and Zechariah with a prophet who was the one that was a forerunner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And things, how God honored them and blessed them. I come to tell you that God will honor you and God will truly bless you as you stay faithful to the things of God. It doesn't matter what other people are doing, you be faithful because you're setting up your alms before the Lord. What you're doing is before the Lord our God, and that's what Zechariah did. He, him, and Elizabeth, they were faithful before God, and God blessed them. And I come to tell you, God is going to bless you as well. Even though Zechariah initially doubted, God still yet blessed them. The echo of the story of Abraham and even Sarah can be heard in this story as well. Sarah, too, was well past the time of childbearing when God visited her and her husband and promised them a son. Such as it was with Zechariah, Abraham questioned the angel of the Lord as to whether such things could happen, considering their advanced age. Sarah also doubted God and even laughed at the prospect of becoming a mother. However, as we know, the scripture gave birth to Isaac. And Sarah gave birth to Isaac when she was 90 years old and Abraham was 100 years old. In spite of their old age, along with their son, fulfilled the purpose of God to raise up a great nation. I come to tell you, God will raise up a nation through you. If you be faithful unto God, God is going to do it on your behalf. Now, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who has promised, and therefore sprang there even a one, and him as good as a dead, as so many as the star of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And you'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 through verse number 12, of how God blessed Abraham and Sarah beyond their own imagination. And guess what? The same blessing is still yet in action, even right now. He's still blessing people. He's still undergirding them and fortifying them and opening door and even engrafting people into the body of Christ. And so your faithfulness can touch a nation, and your call beyond the call of duties is touching somebody else. And so don't even let the adversary, because people will come around and say, well, why are you always doing that? You're the only one that's doing it. I come to tell you as a personal testimony, if you be faithful to God and do the work and the will of God, God will be faithful unto you and your family and your children and your children's children. Let's look further. Let's look at another aspect of serving. The normal service for a priest, let's take a look at that. According to the law, the duties of a priest began around the age 30 and ended after 20 years around the age 50. And you'll find that over in Numbers chapter 4, verse 3, and also verse 23, 43, and 47. And also you can find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verses 24 and 27. While this was the norm, time or length of the year do not limit God, but Zechariah and Abraham continued to be used of God for many years beyond 50, the age of 50, while experiencing their great blessings and accomplishment at the time considered by some to be an age of decline. Now, God in his sovereignty sometimes blesses individuals with long life well beyond their allotted time in order to reveal his majesty and his power. Our frail humanity can become an instrument of power and strength when surrendered to the will of God. And that is so, so key, children of God. As you surrender yourself and your life over into the hand of God, God will bless you. He will give you strength beyond your own measure. He will even beyond your own time and things in and through the anointed power of God. All we have to do is submit to the will of God, and he will bless us. Now, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 20, verse 25 and verse 27. Now, young people should respect the age and honor godly men and women. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary heads and honor the face of old men and fear thy God. I am the Lord, Leviticus 19, chapter 19 and verse 32. And so he's admonishing us to honor those our elders and honor those that have paved the way for us, godly men and women. We must honor them according to scripture. The hoary man is a crown of glory. If it be found in the way of righteousness, Proverbs 16 and verse 31 states that. So again, it's admonishing those that have gone before us and those that are there that is encouraging us and admonishing us and teaching us the things of God. Honor them and things. Just the scripture says that. As people age, they should not lose heart or lose confidence or faith in God, for God has promised to be faithful. He has promised that even in old age, he will continue to watch over his people. And you'll find that over in Isaiah 46 and chapter verse number 4. Now, let's look at another aspect where the scripture is talking and sharing and admonishing us that others serve God long. And let's look at the longevity of how God used people as well. Moses was one of the most unlikely candidates for greatness. Given his tragic history and his own insecurity, God did not call him to become Israel's deliverer while serving as an Egyptian priest and military leader. Although Moses had attained such excellent, exalted position in his youth, his life took an unfortunate turn when at the age of 40, he murdered an Egyptian taskmaster whom he saw mistreating a Hebrew slave. This act caused him to flee from the wrath of Pharaoh. And further, Moses took refuge also in the desolate land of Midian. And for 40 years, Moses lived in obscurity, tending to his father-in-law's sheep. Instead of taking a prince from the court of Pharaoh's for a bride, he married an Ethiopian woman, a daughter of Jethro, the priest of Midian. Now, question about his miraculous rescue from the Nile must have been risen in Moses' mind. What was he doing in the desert? Why did God spare him in such a miraculous way only to tuck him away in a remote land? Had God forgotten him? 40 years have passed, and he must have wondered if he would spend the rest of his life in the desert. But God had a plan for Moses, and that will result in a radical change, not only in his own destiny, but also for that of Israel as well as the world. Now, when Moses was 80 years old, God startled him by speaking out of the burning bush at the foot of the Mount Horeb. When he called him to deliver Israel from the Egyptian bondage, Moses at first shied away from the seemingly impossible task. But after Moses returned to Egypt with a message from the great I Am, Egypt was a message from the God used him to deliver Israel. Now, for the next 40 years, God continued to use Moses to lead the people of Israel to the land of promise. Thus, the last 40 years of his life were more fruitful than the first 80 years. No one is ever too old to be used by God if the person would surrender to God's will for their life. Now, Luke also wrote of aged Mason, who continued to serve God in his latter years. Therefore went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea and brought with them Amasion of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom should lodge. And then as we continue to look at the scripture, even the Apostle John was probably near 100 years of age when he even received a vision from God on the Isle of Patmos, which inspired him to write the book of Revelation. Most scholars believe that he was exiled to Patmos during the reign of the Roman Empire around AD 95 or 96. Not only was this book written towards the latter part of his life, but also during the time of intense persecution of the church. And so in spite of his advanced age and extreme perils that was befalling his life, he received a clear vision of God and plan and purpose for the church and the world during the end time. While we may be stricken with age or infirmities or circumstances beyond our control, we must remain resolute and confident that God will enable us to still yet fulfill his calling. And so I don't care whoever I'm talking to today, I don't care where you find yourself at right now. I don't care what type of battle you find yourself launched into and circumstances in your life, your family life, your children's life, or whatever it may be on your job, no matter where it may be, or your world concern, this I come to tell you that the same God that promised it unto Abraham and Sarah, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Moses and John and all of the disciples and those great heroes of faith that have gone on before us, God is going to do it in and through your life. All you have to do is stay surrender, continue to walk in his oracles and his precepts and keep his stature and keep his word and your devotion before the Lord our God, and God will do it in and through your life. I come to tell you, I don't care. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I tell you, they can be formed, but it's not going to prosper. And then I come to guarantee and share that with you. It will not prosper. God promised to bless those who will read the book of He promised that he was going to bless us. And things, and the glorious spiritual windows to the future came to us from an aged man, a time when the people reflected on the past. This apostle faced judgment and death with holy boldness and found a great joy in proclaiming Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His example should inspire every aged believer to perform the will of God, whom they love, and to look forward to what he's doing in and through your life. I don't care what's coming against you. Continue to press forward in the things of God. Now let's take a look at the reason why sometimes we are extended beyond the call of duties. Let's take a look at that real quickly. And that is because it is a shortage of workers. It's not many workers. It seems like it's just a handful of people doing the work and the will of the Lord, but God is getting it done. He's equipping them. He's empowering them, and the work is being done as well as being accomplished. Now let's look at the shortage of workers. The awesome task of reaching this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ confronts us daily. In 1804, the world population reached 1 billion people. In 1927, it doubled. By 1960, the world population registered at 3 billion. By 1974, it was 4 billion. By 1987, it had rocketed to 5 billion souls. The world population continued to explode with more than 6 billion people. In 1999 and by the mid-2006, it had reached 6.5 billion people. While their ever-growing population strains man's ability to feed and clothe these teeny mass of humanity, the great challenge is to bringing them hope through the preached word of the gospel and things. And what we got to continue to do is continue to speak the word, teach the word. The apostolic in the North America face a extreme challenge. In the United States alone, out of the population of over 300 million, less than 1% of the American proclaim this Jesus name apostolic message. The U.S. population is becoming increasingly diverse due to immigration and due to a higher rate, birth rate, and many of these epic groups are growing at a faster rate than that of the American as a whole. Now, the expanding population, coupled with a growing percentage of people exceeding 60 years of age, demands every apostolic believer regarding of age or ethnicity must be about the Father's business of reaching out to the lost and dying world. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. It is time for the Zacharias and the Elizabeths of this generation to give themselves wholly and completely to the cause of Jesus Christ through extended service, and this is no discharge from the army of the Lord and things as we continue forward and doing the work in the will of the Lord our God. Now, let's look further. It says, the reason, again, for the shortage of workers, the percentage of the present-day apostolic church has an acute shortage of Christian workers. In Jesus' day, many forsook him because of his hard saying, and in our day, some have departed from the faith because they will not heed sound doctrine. Others, like Demas, forsake their call to service because they love worldly things. Some demonstrated the end-time characteristics described by Paul in his second letter to Timothy. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, 2 Timothy 3:4. And that's why we can see, you wonder, well, why were all the workers? Well, because they're a lover of themselves more than they're a lover of God. They've gotten high-minded. They love pleasure. They're traitors. They're heady. And things some love this present world, and they departed and forsake the service of God and the things of God. Now, others forsake their calling to service because of offenses, real or imagined. Jesus warned them that offenses would come, but woe to those who cause offense. We must be careful not to offend or place a stumbling block in the path of a fellow believer. But at the same time, we must not allow petty grievance to cause us to break fellowship with the body of Christ. Now, the writer of Hebrew admonished, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another in so much more as you see the day approaching. You'll find that over in Hebrews chapter number 10, verses 23 to 28. Because we are living in the last day, we need to strive for unity in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verses 2 to 3 said, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, let's look further at the joy of serving the Lord. Now, as the bride of Christ, we must never lose our passion for the lost. Falling in love with Jesus will cause us to love others as Christ loves both them and us. By keeping herself unspotted from the world, the bride retains her identity as the pure, undefiled of the Lord. Because we are in love with him, we serve him with unspeakable joy. May the bride of Christ ever be filled with his radiance and commune intimately with him through the Spirit. This intimate communion in the Holy Ghost enabled the bride to conceive and bear children as Sarah and Elizabeth of old. The church may have aged 2,000 years, but it is still the will of God for his bride to bear children and present unto him at his return. Just as children bring joy to a natural family, spiritual children bring joy to the family of God. Now, let's take a look at, as we conclude, and think, Elizabeth and, well, as Zacharias, showed by an example the value of service for those of the advanced age. By our good works, we bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus as we grow in grace and knowledge. We come to understand that it is more blessed to give than to receive. As believers, we have been called to salvation so we can enjoy the benefit of the kingdom of God. We have also been called to be saints. As a result, we demonstrate to the world the righteousness of God. And finally, we are called to serve so that we can minister to those who seek after the Lord. It is appointed unto humans once to die, and then come God's judgment. Therefore, we must endeavor to remain, to redeem the time while it's day, for the night soon comes when no person will be able to work. It's a matter not the time of life, for old or young alike are called to serve the Lord. And so I come to encourage you, child of God. I know sometimes as we are called to serve, and sometimes it seems beyond the call of duty, keep up doing the great work that God has called you to do, no matter what, and things. And let us pray that God will send laborers to his harvest that can help labor and bring in the harvest and to train and to nurture up great laborers to do the work and the will of the Lord, as God will send us out unto the fields to and the highways and the byways and compelling them to come, nurturing his children and his people as they're coming into the kingdom of God. Watch God bless you as you continue on to do the blessed work and the will that God has called you out to do. Let us remember and call to remember the three calls. One, the call to salvation. Number two, the call to sainthood. Number three, the call to service. And let us continue to move forward in the things that God has called us to do, serving one another, being a blessing to one another as God continue to bless us, as we continue to ever to be the men and the women of God that he called us out to be. And so, child of God, I pray that you have been blessed by this lesson and that you will move forward even in servitude. Young people, serve Christ as well as the middle age, as well as those that are in upper in age. Let us all serve Christ together, hand to hand, love, patience, and joy as we do the blessed work in the will of the Lord. And so, child of God, I am so glad that God has called us to serve, and as you are serving even beyond the call of duty, even as he did for Zachariah and Elizabeth, he blessed them to be able to bear the son of the prophet that will come in and be the forerunner of Christ. And so, child of God, you don't know what God has birthed out or going to birth out in your life, and even in the life of your sons, in the lives of your daughters. Stay faithful to God and watch God do it as never before. Gracious Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for, Lord, imparting, Lord, your wisdom and your truth and your word into the lives of your people on today. Father, you said line upon line, precept upon precept, here and there, here a little and there a little. And Father, as we continue to do your blessed will, we ask that you bless the hearers of your words as well as doers, that we may be found doing your blessed work and will, and we'll endeavor to give you praise, glory, and honor, because you alone are worthy of the praise, glory, and honor. Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And as I will always say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. According to Matthew 7:7. Again, I want to say thank you for being with me. May the blessings of the Lord continue to be with you and make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, God bless you. Bye-bye.